Hi everyone, I'm back home, which is lovely. It's so nice to be back home, particularly after having that cold while I was away. It's not completely gone yet. I'm still sort of struggling through the very, very last little bit of it. But yeah, that's not fun when you're traveling, but could have been worse, I guess. It will be interesting to see how that Pluralsight course actually sounds once they get around to publishing it sometime next month. So hopefully I don't sound like too much crap, but we'll see. The other guys did a lot of talking, so that's maybe the saving grace. Okay, so this week, I thought, first of all, I'd just share some stats because I launched the Pwned Passwords service, V2 of the Pwned Passwords, almost a month ago. And as I've said multiple times here, it was more successful than what I expected, which is always a nice surprise. And there's sort of two different vectors of stats I thought I'd share here. And the first one is the amount that the actual passwords themselves, like all zipped up in the big collection of SHA-1 hashes, had been downloaded. And particularly by amount, I mean the volume of data. So I shared a tweet just yesterday on this, which was there was 158.61 terabytes worth of data downloaded. Now this file from memory is around about 7 gigabytes or something with the SHA-1 hashes in it. But here's the really interesting bit. And this is going to go off on a little bit of a Cloudflare plug because some awesome stuff has happened with Cloudflare to help me do this. So 158.61 terabytes total bandwidth. Of that, 156.06 terabytes was served from Cloudflare cache. Now, what that means is that I ultimately paid for 2.5 terabytes worth of data from my origin, so from Azure. Now, let's put this in context, because I'm going somewhere with these numbers. That 156 terabytes worth of data served from Cloudflare cache, I didn't need to pay for in terms of serving it from Azure. Now, remember also, Cloudflare came to the party and gave me the service to help serve this up. So serving really, really large files from Cloudflare is normally something you would pay for. So they've come along and helped me do that. The amount of money that would have cost me to serve from Azure is $11,765.33. So that's how much money it saved me serving it off my origin. So Microsoft wouldn't have paid that for me. They would have sent me a big fat bill. I would have had a very difficult conversation with my wife about where nearly 12 grand US, so that's about 15 grand Oz, suddenly disappeared to. So massive thanks to Cloudflare for helping make that happen. And of course, none of that includes all the torrents. So I've been pushing people towards the torrents rather than towards the downloads just to try and, I guess, take a little bit of pressure off Cloudflare. So I don't know how much has been served from torrents. That's kind of the nature of torrents. I would assume a lot more than that. Who knows how much in total? Now, there was that. Now, here's the other figure, which I found really, really interesting. And if I'm honest, I was a little bit nervous about what this might add up to in terms of dollars. And it's the Azure function. So if you recall, and I've written about this many times, what I decided to do with the API behind Pwned Passwords is instead of going all sort of web API and putting it in the web app and sitting in the website with Have I Been Pwned, I said, no, look, it's modern times. Let's go serverless. Let's build this into an Azure Function API. And what that effectively means is it is code that you pay for based on the executions and how long the executions take. And it then runs as a set of code you can deploy directly out of Visual Studio or via the Azure portal with an automated deployment model. Runs out there on the edge. No, let's not say the edge. It runs there at the origin site in Azure's West US data center. We'll talk about the edge in a moment. And I got the bill just yesterday. And of course, I get the bill. There's a whole bunch of stuff in there. First thing I wanted to find was Azure functions. Now, the way they actually quantify functions, I still find a little bit weird. However, what it is 43,531.174 gigabyte seconds of execution time. So they actually measure it in gigabyte seconds. Now, frankly, that only makes sense when you look at how much a gigabyte second actually costs. Fortunately, with functions, the first 400,000 gigabyte seconds of execution is free. And I've only used 43,000. Ergo, I actually have not paid anything for all the Azure functions and all of these requests that have come into Pwned Passwords, which is really, really cool. I'm super, super happy about free. And okay, like the money side of it is one thing. It's not just the money side of it. It's the fact that it is just code as a service. It's not sitting in there with Have I Been Pwned being hammered. I'm not having to worry about any availability as traffic suddenly ramps up because of whatever event it is. It just sits there and runs and you pay per use. And if you don't reach the threshold, you don't pay at all. And the interesting thing about this is that I looked at this and originally I went, okay, well, this is great because obviously Cloudflare has helped me save all this money simply because about 80-something percent of requests for that API are served directly from Cloudflare. And when I say from Cloudflare, from one of their edge nodes. They've got 130-something, 140-something, who knows? It keeps growing really, really quickly. Literally every day they're putting on another edge somewhere around the world at the moment. So, and actually just to touch on that, because I've seen a little bit of confusion where people are like, it's an API. How can you cache an API? Well, it's just an HTTP request. It's an HTTP request. You can return a cache header saying how long it should be cached for. And whether it's an API call or whether it's a static HTML web page, doesn't matter. The headers work just the same. So I've got really aggressive cache headers which say, look, cache this response for a month. And then it gets cached at the edge nodes of Cloudflare around the world. And it'll also get cached in people's browsers as well. So the browser will adhere to that cache response header. So originally I was thinking, okay, so Cloudflare has helped me keep that beneath that sort of free threshold. But even if we expanded it out, so say only one in five requests went through to my origin, and the total number is actually five times larger than the 43,000, we're still at, 215,000 something gigabyte seconds, which is well below the 400,000 gigabyte seconds that Azure gives you in terms of free execution time. So, long story short, I am really, really stoked with Azure Functions right now. And of course, Cloudflare allows me to stretch that even further, even though I didn't need to, although they do get the performance benefits of people getting it from a Cloudflare edge instead of going to the origin. So that's super cool. A caveat with that, though, is that the reason the gigabyte seconds is so low is because these are super, super, super fast API calls. I mean, we've got these executing in double-digit milliseconds, often very low double-digit milliseconds. I think it's down the 50th percentile or something like 13 milliseconds. So that makes a lot of difference. If I was within this API calling out to other services that might have added a half a second or something, this would be a very, very different value proposition. So that's super cool. I'm just happy. Like, everybody is happy with the way Pwned Passwords has gone. So awesome, awesome, awesome. Now, I'm going to talk about something I wrote in a moment, but I note as I see things getting dark here, if you know about lighting in videos and you know what lights I should buy in order to make this work better, let me know, because it's one of those things that's on the to-do list where it's like, I really should research lighting and get some proper lighting. I should do that in my spare time. And yeah, well, anyway, that time issue. All right, now, I want to talk about something I wrote this week, which is one of these things that has been in the works for a long time. And I have many blog posts where over a period of many months, sometimes even years, I just add little bits to it until I feel that there's kind of a cohesive story. And this is what I've been doing with this blog post I pushed out a few days ago called The Legitimization of Have I Been Pwned. And I want to sort of set the context here, and to be honest, this is something that lends itself particularly well to the video. Even though I've written about it here, I want to make sure that the emotion and the feeling is conveyed here. So, Have I Been Pwned, I created back in 2013, and it was on a bit of a whim. I had some free time, it seemed like a fun idea, it gave me a chance to play with Azure bits. You know, this is all very nice. And obviously, over time, it just kept growing and growing and growing and growing into all sorts of places I did not expect. And, you know, that's been great, but increasingly I was aware of the fact that it only exists because there's been some really serious criminal activity involved in hacking into websites and stealing data. And after that data is made public, then here's me picking this data up and dealing with it. And I was just really conscious that it is a gray area, you know? And then sometimes people say to me, they're like, is it legal to have this data? Well, That is actually a very good question. Do you have any other questions? It's a very hard one, and I'm actually going to come back to that because there's a lot of precedence of other big companies dealing with the same data as well. I'm not sure that totally answers the question, but at least it establishes a societal norm, if you like. So anyway, I'm running this service, dealing in this grey area, and I'm just sort of going to try and give you this a little bit in chronological fashion. I was getting, quite honestly, very worried, probably late 2016, early 2017, due to other services running out there that were dealing with data breaches in a way that was really clearly unethical by anyone's reasonable moral compass. So a good example of that, and I put this in the blog post, is that service that was called Leaked Source. Now, this was a service where someone, in all their wisdom, said, you know, it'd be cool, let's like get all this data breaches, and then we'll sell everyone's personal data to whoever he wants to pay any money whatsoever. Like, what could go wrong, right? And to put it in context, this was literally like, I've got a screen cap here actually of mine. Someone went and paid, I think you could pay as little as 72 cents a day for like an ongoing subscription or like $4 one-off. You know, like small arbitrary amounts of money. And then you could search for whoever you wanted and get all of their data. So I've got an example here of my data that someone sent me after they subscribed to the service. And we've got what the site was. This was dbforums.com. At some time in my life, I must have created an account at DB Forums to talk about DB things. And what do we got here? We've got my username, my a hash of my password, obviously my email address, when I registered, when I last logged on, my birth date, my IP address, and the salt used on the hash. And these guys, or guy, because we know at least one person that was involved now, I'll get back to that in a moment, were literally selling this data. And what this ultimately ended up being is trafficking in identities. And this is precisely this, selling identity data, which would then allow people to mount identity theft attacks, to break into accounts because you had passwords and things. And this was probably the one that worried me the most, but there were others operating in a similar space that were regularly getting airtime in the media and just drawing attention to the fact that there is a data breach trading scene that people were monetizing in really malicious ways. And that, frankly, worried the hell out of me, because what I was concerned about is that sooner or later, a regulator is going to come down and say, right, everyone out of the pool, like nobody should be doing this in any fashion whatsoever, because there's such a negative perception of that entire space. So I was very worried about that. And what sort of started to change is stuff started getting cleaned up. And in fact, I've got this title here, the industry cleaned up a lot in 2017. And yeah, you know, a really good example of that is Leaked Source got shut down. Now, we have since learned only in the last couple of months that it was a guy in Canada running the service. He's been arrested. He's facing all sorts of charges. And I'm really interested to actually see how that pans out, because I think we need a precedent in the industry where we say, this is the behavior that's not okay. Now, I'm not sure that we'll get to the point of saying this is the behavior that is okay, but at least this other example, particularly selling data for the purposes of account takeover and things like that, like that's just clearly never going to be cool, and we need to see legal precedent. So not going to work out real well for him. The other thing that started happening, and I touched on this before, is seeing lots of other large tech companies dealing with breach data. Now, in complete honesty, often people say it's stolen data. I'm actually not sure if it's stolen data. I think this is one of those sort of legal semantic things where it's like it was taken without authorization, but it is also still there. You know, it's like a globally distributed backup now. I don't know if theft is the right word or if stealing is the right word. I actually don't know if it matters either. Like, we know the mechanics of how it happened. We know it was an illegal activity. There is then a question of the legalities of what happens with the data after it has now been spread into the public domain. So I gave some examples here of other tech companies doing exactly the same thing as what Have I Been Pwned does in terms of the aggregation of the data to be used for good purposes. Amazon's a good one. So Amazon consistently pops up, emails people and says, hey, we found your credentials in a data breach and they're the same as the ones on Amazon. You really want to change those. This, regardless of what it is legally classified as, is a good thing. we want organizations protecting people's accounts. In a case like Amazon as well, imagine that's like an AWS account, you know, and someone manages to get into that account and just start spinning up instances to mine cryptocurrency or join them to a botnet or other nasty things like that. We want tech companies to use this data in a positive way. OpenTable is doing a similar sort of thing. LinkedIn is doing a similar sort of thing. Pandora goes even further. In fact, I think Pandora has gone too far, because what Pandora was doing is saying, let's just get the data breach. And if any of our customers are in the data breach, regardless of whether their credentials are the same or not, we're going to send them an email. And in fact, I've got an email here that was sent to me from Pandora when apparently I was in a data breach, which sounds about right. I mean, a lot of them. And I definitely would not have been using the same password, because everything is in the 1Password password manager with auto-generated crazy long strings. So no way in the world is the same password, but I still got the mail. So the point is there that we're seeing organizations use this data increasingly in defensive fashions, which we could all reasonably agree is for the betterment of everybody. Now, that's great. So a lot of the bad stuff sort of started to disappear. A lot of the good stuff started to gain prominence. And again, this is all part of the legitimization. I feel that the rising tide of ethical behavior, if you like, is lifting all boats. Now, I also talked about breach sites embracing Have I Been Pwned? And one of the things that's really interesting here is first of all, three different sites now have self-submitted data after a breach. So they've reached out and said, hey, we got pwned. Here's the data. Put it into your site. And to be honest, I'm still not entirely sure how I feel about that, because I'm happy to do it. I'm happy to oblige. There's a little bit of me that says, well, aren't you just kind of spreading the data more? You know, like, you should contact your customers and let them know, do you really need to add it into Have I Been Pwned? And indeed, might you violate any privacy laws if you consciously reach out and provide that information? I think that might be something that gets a little bit uncomfortable, particularly under the likes of GDPR. But be that as it may, they've been confident enough in the legitimacy of Have I Been Pwned to do that. I'm also seeing a lot of references to Have I Been Pwned from other companies that might have suffered a data breach. So Dailymotion's a good one. Dailymotion had a breach which, from memory, first appeared in leaked source. And this was one of those ones where it's like, I haven't seen any chatter about this. Suddenly it appears on this site, and we know they're monetizing too, so they're paying for data breaches. And I think this might be another interesting thing to come out of that legal case. Are we going to see a precedent where paying for data breaches has some legal recourse? Because that's an incentivization problem. If people know that they can get paid to hack into a site and give data to, whether it be leaked source or if any of the big tech companies are paying for it, that's not a very good signal. So anyway, so Dailymotion, they had that breach. It was in leaked source, ended up in Have I Been Pwned once that data started circulating. And they actually made a very positive reference to Have I Been Pwned. In fact, I spoke to someone there after I loaded the data, just simply because they wanted to understand what was going on with it. You know, it's like, well, where are you seeing it circulate? Like, how bad is it? What should we tell our members? Good, positive way to deal with a bad incident. So anyway, they made a nice sort of reference to Have I Been Pwned. Lots of other things in here about organizations I've disclosed to, making nice positive statements about the service, which particularly under the circumstances is pretty good, because it's like, well, we have just realized we've had a data breach. Life is not good at the moment. We have to send all these notifications and answer the media and are in the headlines. So sort of under those circumstances, to have nice things said about Have I Been Pwned, again, gives me more confidence that it's on the right track. There's a bit here as well about being a go-to resource for protecting accounts. And what I was trying to say here is that I'm seeing a lot of organizations now telling their subscribers that if you want to protect your account, or if you want to see where you might have had an exposure, go to Have I Been Pwned and check for it. EVE Online has been doing that. Epic Games has been doing that with the recent Fortnite release. Award Wallet has done that. Deliveroo, just on and on and on. A German company I don't know, but apparently is very prominent and trustworthy, which is really good. Even Google has been. Google for Education. They've got a document here with a nice screen cap of Have I Been Pwned. And, you know, this, again, gives me, I guess, just an enormous confidence that it's heading in the right direction. Because it's almost like there's all these signals out there. There's a lot of noise about people who say good things, bad things, everything in between. And at the moment, there's just a really, really strong positive signal. So I'm very, very happy to hear that. The press also has just had a huge amount of press. And this is one of those things where I'm not going to go through and list stuff because there's literally, when I did a Google News search for have I been pwned, there are 9,300 results. But it just seems to be regularly popping up in that mainstream press as a go-to resource. And I have Google Alerts set up, so I get a little email once a day that says, you know, here's where it's been seen. And obviously that has peaks and troughs, but every single day there is something. So that's nice. What else to do here? Now, this is sort of two aspects here which particularly surprised me. And if I'm honest, I think this is when I started this blog post. I started dropping in references from the likes of law enforcement. And now, again, sort of think back to my concern going back, say, 18 months. And it was, is this going to be a legitimate service? Or is this a sustainable, legitimate service sitting on breached data, stolen data, whatever you want to call it, gazillions of records operating in what is a bit of a shady space. And I started seeing police departments around the world recommending Have I Been Pwned? And, you know, it's kind of reassuring when the cops are like, yeah, this is a good service. You know, like that is a nice positive signal. And I've actually got lots of examples from the UK. Just police departments all over the UK seem to really like Have I Been Pwned. Thank you very much for that. Obviously, they don't see my tweets about UK weather. But anyway, we'll move on. I've got ones here from Belgium, ones from the Netherlands as well. And I'm sure there's a whole heap that I've just totally missed and I've never seen. This is just stuff that came across my radar within that little window of time over the last 6 months or so. So that's given me enormous confidence that this service has kind of reached this legitimization point. And then the last one here that was particularly significant, where are we significant, is the use by governments around the world. And that there's a few things in particular here. There's a few little things like the Estonian CERT is advising people to check Have I Been Pwned. That's cool. Thank you, Estonia. The one that... the two that were the really prominent ones for me, the first one is the congressional testimony in Washington, D.C. So in November, I got very dressed up and went to Washington and sat in front of lawmakers and talked about Have I Been Pwned? And it was funny at the time because people were like, you know, they're just trying to get you to the U.S. so they can arrest you for sitting on all this data. Didn't happen. That's great. But I did get to sit there in front of lawmakers and talk about data breaches and indeed the role that Have I Been Pwned plays with that. And that just gave me an enormous boost in confidence that this is now a legitimate service that has a valid role to play. And I know many of you probably listen to this and go, well, you know, of course it has. It's been really useful. But I just always kind of felt that there was this cloud, you know, this shadow that I was worried about because of the nature of the space it was playing in. So that made a really big difference to that. And that testimony was awesomely well received too. This is really rare, but I don't think I had any negative feedback from anyone on that. So I don't know if I'll ever be able to reproduce that, but it was great. And then finally, and this is another one that's been very, very positive as well, is the use of Have I Been Pwned by the NCSC in the UK and the ACSC in Australia. So these are the government departments that deal with the cybers in their respective parts of the world. And that was something that I've been working on for many months to try and make sure that these... Well, someone's got a really loud Audi R8 that keeps roaring up and down the road, which I love, but I digress. So it was a really important thing to get these entities, these government departments, using the service for many reasons. And look, one of them, in all honesty, was the fact that they're using it already, but in all these little pockets. So in both the UK and Australia, we had quite a large number of individual departments doing their own searches, using the data on their own. And we kind of went, you know, we should consolidate this. Let's roll up this effort and let's give you the scope of the entire country, government domains only, And that seems like it would make a lot of sense. So that was a cool thing to do. But of course, there was this aspect as well where I wanted transparency so that no one came along later on and went, it's a government backdoor. That's not a backdoor. They're just getting things that they had already. We're just making it easier for them. So that the transparency was important, but also from the perspective of again, my comfort level in legitimizing the service to be able to say that the governments in Australia and the UK are using this service, and they themselves have come out and said we're using this service and it's a nice partnership. That was really important. And it just gave me a lot more confidence that this service has kind of popped into the light, for want of a better term. Incidentally, I am speaking to other governments in other parts of the world. There will be more coming on soon, and I expect we'll see the same level of transparency with them, and I'll be able to talk about them later on as well. So stay tuned for that one. And look, really, that was pretty much it. It was, I think I'm sort of struggling a little bit to kind of convey the importance of that post. And it's, look, this is not something you're going to like learn really insightful things from, and it's going to change your software development or your security life. It's not that post. But it was one of those ones where I just wanted to take stock and go, okay, where are we now? How do I feel about how legitimate this thing is? And you know, obviously I feel pretty good about it. Okay, so that's that. I will have more Have I Been Pwned news, I hope, next week. The plan is next week. If it's not next week, it might be a few weeks after that because I'm going to be away again. I'll talk more about that next week. Lastly, Tech Fabric is sponsoring my blog again this week. They were on there a few weeks ago too. They do scalable, reliable, and secure cloud-native applications, cross-platform apps using .NET and JS. So thank you very much for those guys for being on there again today. So I really appreciate their ongoing support. And if you would like to check them out, that would be great too, so that they know that people actually watch this, listen to it, and pay attention. So that is good to keep sponsors. Look, that's it for this week. I did want to try and get a blog post out on credential stuffing and some of the things I learned when I saw Facebook and Twitter and all of these other organizations last week. This was before the whole Cambridge Analytica stuff too. That doesn't change what I'm going to write, but yeah, I wonder if discussions last week would have been at all different if that had happened first. Regardless, I do want to get that blog post written. I'm really hoping I can get out next week. I've got a bit of a lighter week next week before I go away again. So thank you very much for watching. And again, if you do know things about lighting, please leave a comment or get in touch with me somehow or let me know so I can actually get this thing looking a bit better. Thanks, guys. See you later.